In the name of God, who unveils to us the glory. Amen. Please be seated. Today is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. The word Epiphany means unveiling or showing. It is when God pulls back the veil that divides this earth from heaven and shows us a glimpse of the brightness of the glory of God. We began this season with the showing of a star in the sky, which the wise men saw and watched and recognized and followed to find the Christ child. And as the season has progressed, the showings have gotten more and more brilliant until today, when we reach the culmination of all unveilings in the transfiguration of Jesus upon a holy mountain. But before we get to the holy mountain, I want you to begin to comprehend that epiphanies, showings, unveilings happen to you and to me, and I believe they happen to us every day. And the question is not whether or not God is showing us the glory, but it's whether or not we're awake enough to see it. That is the variable. The variable is our awareness, not God's willingness to show that glory to us. God usually begins the unveilings when you start opening your eyes by nature, just like God began this season with the star. So I'm sure some of you have had your breath caught by the beauty of something in nature, you know, the sun setting over the river or a flower blooming. Yesterday we did the funeral of a 99-year-old parishioner, Alice Gillis. Those are her flowers. She wanted you to see lilies and remember her. So that's her little unveiling for you right there. She was a very faithful parishioner all of her life. But once you begin to recognize the glory of God in nature, God will begin to show you other things as well. Many of you know that every morning I wake up and I film this little devotion on YouTube. And every day I show a piece of art because I believe God wants me to. But that's a little scary because every day I have to find a piece of art. Well, God showed me that I live close to the largest used bookstore in the nation. That helped a lot. But when I travel, I can't bring these big art books with me, so I'm a little more vulnerable in looking for what God is going to show me next. This week, I had to go to Kansas City for a big church conference, and sure enough, as the sun was rising on the first morning, and I'm saying, "Oh God, show me something beautiful to use in my devotion," I'm looking out the window, and there's a grove of birch trees right outside my window. And when I was a little girl and my dad wasn't feeling well and things were scary in my household, I looked out the window of my bedroom and saw a birch tree, and that's how I learned to pray, was looking at a birch tree. So the first morning I said, "Oh, thank you for that." But the second morning when I got up to do my devotion, it was too dark and you couldn't see the birch trees. So I looked around my room, and there on the wall was a large painting of all these pieces of farming land. You know how when you fly over farmland, they have different shapes and different textures to them? Well, we were reading the book of Ruth, and it was all about farming. So thank you, God. That worked that morning. And then the next morning, I'll use that painting. I turned to the other wall. There were only two paintings in my hotel room. And I hadn't really noticed, but the other one was a picture of wheat growing. And guess what Ruth was farming in the book of Ruth? Wheat. All these little unveilings, little providing, little helping us along. While I was gone at the conference, Chris, my husband, woke up one morning to go to work, and you know he's a pediatric intensive care doctor. He's taking care of very sick children here at Wolfson's Hospital. And he wakes up in the morning and he's packing his little lunch. He brings a sandwich and usually two clementines. He's a guy of habits. But this morning, he woke up and heard very clearly in his mind, bring four clementines. He thought, weird. Okay. So he put four clementines in his lunchbox. He gets to the hospital and is doing his rounds, and one of the children has been in the hospital because he had a severe diabetic episode. They're trying to get him to eat, but he doesn't want to eat anything. And so Chris says to the mom, well, tell me, you know, what does your son love to eat? And guess what she says? Clementines. And Chris says, well, I've got some clementines in my lunch. And she says, I don't want to take your lunch. And Chris says, I usually eat two, but I brought four today. I think two of them are meant for your son. So the little boy eats the clementines with relish and starts to feel better. These are just some of the little epiphanies that happen all the time. But our scripture is about big epiphanies, huge epiphanies, like Moses, who walks up the mountain to pray and he encounters the brightness of God, so much so that his whole face radiates light. And when he comes down to talk to people, they're terrified. You see, that's the deal with the glory, is that we can hardly bear it. So that's why God is constantly titrating to us. Like, maybe you're just a person who can see the glory in nature, in the flower, but you're not ready for the glory in your life because that's too freaky. Moses had to veil his own face because people couldn't look at him. It scared them too much. And then in the Gospel of Luke, in all of the Gospels, Jesus is going up a mountain to pray. And remember, he did this all the time. But most of the time when he went to pray, he went alone. So I believe this kind of thing that happened probably happened a lot. This kind of transfiguration happened a lot. But this time was different, not because Jesus was different, but because this time he took with him three disciples, Peter, James, and John. He chose them because he wanted them to see the glory. So they get up the mountain, and when Jesus starts praying, heaven shows itself. It says that Jesus is present with Moses and with Elijah, both of whom prayed upon the mountain and encountered God on the mountain. In other words, time is transcended, and this happens in God's kingdom. We believe it happens in the Eucharist. And it says in Luke that Jesus entered into glory. And the word in the ancient scripture is doxa. There's really no good translation for doxa. It is a brightness, a brilliance, a radiance, a presence, a mystery that we can't define, that can't really be translated. It's only used for God. The adjective is only used for God. And Jesus radiates this light. And then tucked in the very middle of the gospel is this sentence that is so important. It says that Moses and Elijah are talking with Jesus, and they're talking with Jesus about the end of his life, about what is going to happen to him. They are giving him the strength that he will need to walk to the cross and beyond. They are giving him the fuel, the spiritual fuel that he will need to remain loving and strong through the greatest physical and spiritual onslaught of evil and violence ever known to humankind. Jesus will endure as much as any human being ever has to endure in this life. And up there on the mountain, in that glory, they are equipping him for that. Of course, Peter, like all of us, wants to hold the moment. He wants to make it permanent. He wants to stay right there. And we can't do that with God. We can't capture God. We can't control God. Jesus can't be held down like that. Peter wants to build these booths. That's what they did back then. When they encountered God, they would build like a pile of rocks. Almost like we put tombstones in a graveyard. This is a permanent place where I permanently encountered God. Which is ridiculous, because none of us are permanent. Rocks are the most permanent thing we have, but they're not even permanent, are they? I guess the modern equivalent to Peter's trying to build a booth would have been Peter saying, "Hey, can we get a selfie? I want to hold this moment. I want to show everybody I was here. I'm going to put it on Facebook." God has to descend in a cloud and say, "This is my son, the one that I love. Listen to him. Listen, look, open your eyes. Don't try to hold me. Just try to be aware of me. Wake up. I want to come to you. I want to come to you all the time, but you can't bear my brightness. So I'm going to unveil myself to you little by little, more and more. And the more you look, the more you will find me. And the more you listen, the more you will hear me. You will hear the voice of love. You will see the beauty of love every day. And I will equip you, because you too are going to have to go down the mountain and into the desert, because we're about to enter the season of Lent in a time in this country in which we are struggling gravely. And we are going to have to equip ourselves to be disciples, to fast and to pray and to give and to serve with a kind of strength that is beyond us. Knowing that God is with you all the time, always wanting to show you the glory, knowing that will equip you for anything. For anything. Because that glory waits for you no matter what happens here. There's a place for you there. Always. And it will break into this world. And you will see it from moment to moment. Epiphanies, unveilings of the glory of God.